I'm not gonna lie, I feel gross today after the show. I was called to task, but we're about learning here, Chelsea. Is that correct?
Every day
we learn something new. And you'll understand when we talk. It's about dipping. It's about dipping, and I didn't
Ripple
know I was
dipping.
I didn't know I was doing it wrong my whole life.
It's okay. I forgive you.
We also learned about a house guest that Brian has to stay with him for a little while.
Yeah.
And crop circles. They're making a comeback.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
You'll hear it all right now on the podcast. Having a house guest can always be kind of tough, but when it's an extended stay house guest, well, that's when things get a little bit tougher.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Now, Brian Riley, you're in this situation right now.
Right. So I have somebody staying with me for a month.
A month?
Yeah. So they're moving. They're in transition of moving. So their rent ended and their lease ended or whatever it's called. And so they're going to be moving next month. So they had a month of wherever.
Gap.
And it was kind of like a last minute thing. And I'm okay with it. I don't, you need a place to stay. That's fine. You can come stay with me.
Uh-huh.
But my question is, am I supposed to feed them the entire month?
Meaning like you got to buy extra groceries now because they're on hand.
Yeah. And it's not even like I'm going to buy them snacks and all that stuff. But like when I make dinner, for example, make dinner and I don't know portion control.
Mm-hmm.
Like I make dinner for a family of eight most of the time. So am I supposed
just
to be
you
like,
and your girlfriend?
Am I supposed to be like, hey, you want some of this dinner? Like, do you like? Am I cooking dinner for them? I don't cook breakfast because I leave so early in the morning. They're not there for lunch, so obviously they're on their own. But dinner time, I feel like it's awkward if I make this unbelievable dinner and they're over here eating, you know, noodles by themselves. So that's why I was wondering: am I supposed to feed them during it?
It's weird because it's a month. So it's not like if someone comes to your house for a week, of course, you plan a meal around them being there.
For the weekend, you know, and oh man, you'd have to work out kitchen schedules and do they have like different dietary restrictions? Are they liking the same food? I think as a host, I guess, but I have crashed on my friends' couches before.
Right.
And if it's for that extended of a period, I feel obligated as the guest to at least pitch in for some meals. I'm buying the proteins. Like if we're grilling steaks, I'm going to pick up half the steak.
Sure.
Or I'm going to help do the dishes. I'm going to do something I can do to pull my weight. I don't expect them to feed me because food's expensive.
It is. And like I said, and by the way, she is extremely nice.
Okay.
You know,
so
like, it's not like somebody that I'm like, oh, great, I got to feed them. Like
yeah,
she's
but it's still expensive.
She's extremely nice. And it really wouldn't be that big of an issue on my grocery bill because like I said, I feed for a family. And it's only just me and my girlfriend living there. And we always have leftovers. We always have a ton of it.
Yeah.
So, is it that big of a deal to feed them? Or they're just a guest. Let them do their own thing.
We posted this question on the Kelly Jordan Show Facebook page yesterday. And there's a general consensus kind of coming in. Chelsea, I don't know if you saw any of the comments on there that thought we're good.
Yeah, and I think some maybe thought that this was a shorter.
Right.
But no, a lot of great comments coming in. Definitely, it's called being a good host. Also planning on things, what is this? Planning on things if they're from out of state. So I don't know if you plan on entertaining her while she's there as well, or if she's just kind of...
No, she's going to have to do that part on her own. I'm just talking about the food side of things.
Colette says, when you live in Minnesota, we feed everyone who walks through the door and visits longer than 10 minutes. You know, it's just being good.
I saw someone say they fed their mailman one time just because he stopped at their mailbox.
Yeah, that's Michelle.
They threw a tater tot hot dish at him.
She's like, here, try this for me. And sent him with some dinner. Yeah, that was her mailman.
Stuff it in the mailbox, make a quick swap.
What I'm seeing a lot on here is, yes, you have to feed her, but you don't have to adjust your menu for her.
Yeah.
She's got a sidle up to you and what you're cooking.
Look, I'm not planning to change. Because if you're a health nut, I'm not going to be eating chicken breasts and rice and quinoa or whatever the heck they eat.
You're in the wrong house for health nut.
Some of that sauteed spinach.
So what if it ends up being more than a month? Will it end up being more than a month? Or you don't know yet?
I have no idea. I know that she has another job lined up and she's going to be moving out of where we live.
Okay.
I don't know how soon it is. And like I said before, she's extremely nice. So it's not like it's a burden on me or anything like that. I just want to know, like, if I'm making dinner, am I supposed to make extras or am I supposed to just...
Well, there's a reason why I'm asking, what if it goes on longer than this? Because
we
have someone sitting on hold right now. Now, we're running a little bit late, but what were you saying?
Brian, let me tell you, do not make the same mistake that I made.
Uh-oh, can you hold on one second? We got to get to her call because she said she was in the same boat as you and it went terrible.
Okay.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
Brian Riley has a long-term house guest coming to stay with him for, well, what you think is a month.
I'm assuming it's a month.
And I'd get that in writing.
He just wants some he just wants some etiquette questions as far as how do meals go. We got a lot of text coming in on this, dude.
Dude, that's what I was saying. And, like, preferences the whole thing. I don't even think I said that word right, but... She's a very nice and she's a very well-maintained house guest so far.
Okay.
She's been with us for like a week so far. Nothing's wrong. I'm not asking, by the way, I'm not asking her for money. I'm not asking her for anything
because
this is a weird situation for her in itself.
Out of the kindness of your heart.
Right. And so I was just wondering, because I make so much food when I make dinner, am I supposed to feed her or is she just supposed to smell my meals and be like, oh, I wish I had some of that on the side? I just want a little insight. That's all I'm looking for.
I think it was really sweet. The point where you say that you used to throw out a lot of food, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she wants to eat that food, great.
Seems out of the trash.
No, you got to get it. But, people are saying, you know, don't change things up. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be Chef Brian, what can I make you for dinner this evening? That'd be a little too far. Majority of people are saying, hey, like, can she throw in for some groceries? You know, especially if she's going to be there for a whole month.
It's a long time.
And like I said, I don't buy for her. Like, I'm just buying my meals normally, and I always have enough left over because I buy family packs because it's always on sale.
Now, we got someone sitting on hold who says they have a cautionary tale for you, Brian Riley.
Okay.
She's been on hold for, like, a long time.
Yeah, so I want to hear it.
Let's get her on. Now, what were you saying before we went into that break?
Do not make the same mistakes that I made.
Oh, you make it sound like it's a bad thing being a nice person.
Oh, it turns out to be one. I mean, I'm going through it right now, and I don't even know how I'm going to get out of this. And it's not going to end well. I can just tell you that.
So what's the scenario that you're in?
I have a good girlfriend, and she's in between apartments right now, right?
Okay.
So I told her, you know, just, you know, come over. You know, my couch is comfortable. You know, you can just stay with me while you're, you know, getting the other apartment. And you don't have to pay me anything. Just save up that money for the deposit. And, you know, and that's it. Like, I just want her to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, like, it's been 3 months now.
Oh.
And it's just getting really frustrating for me and my husband. She's always there. You know, it's like, okay, you know, like we want some quiet time. Like maybe we want to be in that room or, you know, you know what she did the other day that drives me crazy? We were watching a movie and she starts to cook with heavy garlic at 9 p.m. Now, who wants the smell of garlic in your house at 9 p.m.?
Oh, man.
You're telling me you don't fall asleep to the smell of garlic?
No. It's just constant little things like that. And I mean, you know, she doesn't participate. Like I said, don't pay me rent, but that doesn't mean don't buy your own food.
Like, wait, time out. So
buy some of your own groceries.
So she doesn't, you buy all the groceries as well?
Correct. And let me tell you, I don't know what she's doing in the bathroom, but we're going through toilet paper like you've never seen before.
Well, why haven't you told her to leave?
Yeah, that is fair.
Well, you know, we're getting to that point, but I'm just trying to be. I've been trying to be the good, understanding friend, you know, giving her an opportunity to find the right apartment.
You're worried now that you made her so comfortable by being a guest in your home that was only supposed to be, what did you say, 3 weeks? Now you're on 3 months.
Yes. You sound like my husband. That's exactly what he's saying. My husband is saying you made it too comfortable for her. You know, she started off saying, like, I'll run errands for you. I'll okay, so, you know, can you pick up my, you know, this from the dry cleaning? Can you pick this up from whatever? I even left the money for the basics for the groceries. You know, like, you know, milk, juice, water, you know, some bread. Just like basics that we were running down. And I was shocked. Like, I left the money there, and she took it. And I'm thinking, like, well, you know, I don't know if I could say the B word, but I'm like, B word. Like, you could have said, no, I got it. But she didn't. She took it.
Look, you tell me if my house is your house, you're leaving a 20 on the counter, I might take it, too. I'm just being real about that. So you're saying don't let her be too comfortable. Maybe make a meal every once in a while, but act as though she's a whole separate entity in your place.
You have to figure something like that out, yes. Or you're going to have to figure out a, you know, a contribution because it's just too much. But how do you even contribute when it's something like what she did the other day with the garlic? You know, it's just.
See, it sounds like you're living in hell.
I just had it. Like with kids. Let's do with kids. They try to see how far they can take something.
Yes.
Before you, you know, before you say that's enough, no more. So I feel like that's what's happening. And what I should have done was, you know, now in hindsight, I should have had some boundaries from the beginning.
Well, Shelby, do you have any plans to kick this, not even kick her out, but to get her out of your house at some point?
I've been under control. I've had a lot of patience. But like I said, it's turned into 3 months. The fuse is getting closer to the, you know, to the stick of dynamite.
You have maybe helped Brian Riley out today more than any caller has ever helped someone out.
I'll be honest, you've made me semi-terrified a little bit as well.
I think a little bit of fear is a good thing in this situation.
It might be.
Thank you so much for the call. We got the HR files on the way in just a couple of minutes, and I believe Brian Zenzen is no longer in the United States.
No.
Our human resources guy is in the Army National Guard, which I just think is so cool. And he's pretty high ranking, too. I've DJed a lot of events for them, and he, like, runs the whole show.
Really?
Yeah, he's got.
So he is the Army National Guards?
Yeah, he is. He's on their dollar bills or whatever they use for currency.
Yeah, they change it.
It's American, you guys.
Speaking of trying to save money, so my 09 Tiguan. Now, I bought this Tiguan as a just back and forth to work car because I drive about 100 miles a day.
Yep.
Chelsea,
yes.
You did that for a while. You know how stressful that is.
I did. I know. So you don't want to buy that brand new vehicle.
Right.
But you want something that's reliable.
Because you're going to beat the hell out of it.
You do.
So I bought an 09 Tiguan, and it's given me a few years of good service. But the problem is it breaks down kind of a lot. But
it seems like it.
But because of YouTube, I'm learning how to fix a lot of things.
Kelly.
The next thing is, I noticed the other day, Brian Riley, I told you, I was like, man, this thing is leaking coolant like crazy.
Yeah.
I was telling Brian, I was like, I stopped to get gas and I saw coolant leak in front of it. I was like, all right, let me get underneath and see what's going on. Let me grab my tools and car.
Hold up. Is it still leaking? This was an issue before I left.
Well, the problem is I have a second car that I've been driving, but I'm putting too many miles on it, and it's a Tahoe, so it doesn't get the best gas mileage driving 100 miles a day.
No, but they're so nice, though.
They are. I love that thing so much, but I also want to keep the miles off of it. So I saw that I believe I'm 85% sure the water pump is leaking on the 09 Tiguan.
Okay.
Did you test the fluid that was
No, but I just crawled underneath it. I was like, oh, that thing's dripping. What is it?
I mean, that's the only way to diagnose things, right?
So I got on YouTube and I looked around, and I think that this will be the biggest repair I've ever done on my own, trying to replace the water pump via YouTube videos.
I have zero faith.
This is going to blow up.
I don't think it may overheat and seize. I think that could possibly
and
happen.
And then it'll blow up.
But I'll keep an eye on the temperature gauge. If I see her getting, if I'm running.
If that doesn't break.
I think it works. If I'm running a little hot, I'll just shut her down.
So you think, because you figured out the mold problem in your 2009 Tiguan.
I fixed the sunroof.
That you can now change out a radiator or whatever you got, a water pump.
Water pump.
I fixed the sunroof. I fixed some electronic relays in it that were making the fan run and kill the battery.
Was that just
I replaced those. I put a fuse box cover on it.
Kelly the mechanic.
You put a fuse box cover on it, and now you're like, you know what? I'm moving up to the big times. I'm replacing the engine myself.
I don't, because working on Volkswagens is expensive, man. Well, like, they're not a cheap car to take into the shop.
A specialty car, too, being German?
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to do them.
Jawohl.
Do you speak German?
Jawohl. No, I don't.
Yeah, there's people that will strictly buy Volkswagens because they have the right tools for it.
Right.
It's, like, impossible to fix.
Yeah.
So, if I got YouTube with me, I'll be just fine. So, what I'm saying is, if I'm late tomorrow or I don't show up at all.
Can somebody speak logic?
I possibly went out in a blaze of glory somewhere along the road. Oh.
Hey, you went out the way you wanted to.
That's right, in my 09 Tiguan.
There you go.
Sunroof open, I guarantee.
Your favorite car.
Hello?
Hey, Kelly, it's Art. I got a question for you. Do you ever listen to your own ads that play on the radio?
Sometimes, yeah.
Why don't you go to Signature Auto and see Shane? He's my mechanic. I've known that guy for 5 years. Don't do that, because you're like, you'll screw something up.
You said you don't have a mechanic.
How does Art, Kelly? How does Art know me so well?
Art's got a point.
Art, I got YouTube. I'm going to have my phone underneath the car with me.
Don't ever do anything by YouTube.
I bet Shane don't use
it. Don't ever do anything by YouTube.
All I got to do is disconnect two hoses, and it looks like some sort of bracket. and I think I'll be good.
Yeah, there's a rotary girder in there you got to replace.
Why
but it's
don't
fine.
You be smarter about it and go by the manual? From if you want to do it yourself, do it the right way. Go to AutoZone, get the repair manual.
I don't read so good, so I do better at watching videos.
Well, you were in HVAC school, so you have a little
right,
bit of a hand.
Right, and Art, it's not like I have no mechanical background. Have I never brought up on air that I went to HVAC school?
Once, maybe.
Yes, I know. I know that you did HVAC school.
I have some mechanical abilities. And worst case scenario, the car blows up on the way to work. Fine. It's an 09 Tiguan. It's had one hell of a run.
And then he'll take it to Signature Auto.
That's right. What can you guys do for me here?
The Kelly Jordan Show.
All right, we are doing Win the Intern's Lunch, and we are doing this for a $25 gift card. And I believe we have Caden on the phone with us right now. Caden, what are you up to, man?
Just on my way to work.
All right, are you ready to play Win the Intern's Lunch?
Heck yeah.
All right, so today being the first day of May, we asked Brian Riley about country music artists who all have birthdays in May, mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'm going to play Brian Riley a short clip of a song, and he just got to guess the birthday, okay?
I'm good.
And you just got to guess if he'll get it right or wrong. So the first one we did was this song right here. This guy has a birthday this month. Will he know who that is?
No.
You don't think so? All right, let's see. All right, Brian Riley, celebrating a May birthday is this country artist right here. What song or what artist is this?
I think I know that one. That was the beginning of an Eric Church song. Is it Eric Church?
It is Eric Church, and that was the beginning of...
That was a cold one. Yeah. I never will get back.
Nicely done, sir.
Thank
Nicely
you, sir.
Done. His birthday coming up May 3rd, actually.
Okay, no faith in the kid?
Yeah, sorry, Caden, man. That's all right, though. You just got to get best 2 out of 3, okay?
Okay.
You are still in this. Don't be hard on yourself. Here's the next one I played for Brian Riley. Will he know this one? Ooh, that's a tough one. Will he know that one?
Yes.
All right, let's see. You're rolling the dice on this. Brian Riley, your next country artist celebrating a May birthday. That was a quick one. That was a...
I think I know the song. It's actually my least favorite song by that guy.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's an awful song. Tim McGraw, Truck Yeah.
And it is Tim McGraw's birthday in May.
You know what I'm talking about. Let me hear you say, Truck Yeah. Wanna get it jacked up. Yeah, let's drink it on up.
I would say in his pantheon of music, that's probably one of the weaker selections.
You could just say, everyone sings along, though.
Yeah, but you could say it sucks. That's fine. It sucks.
Truck Yeah.
Nice going, Caden. You got that one.
That's right.
Now, it comes down to this. This is all the marbles for a $25 gift card to lunch, no matter where you want to go. Will Brian Riley know whose birthday? Oh, by the way, Tim McGraw's birthday today.
Yes, hey, happy birthday, Tim McGraw.
So, just so everyone knows. I know Chelsea was just over there looking at me with the evil eye.
I got my Tim McGraw picture coming too, boys.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for you to hang that up in your home. All right, here's the next one. Will Brian know whose birthday that is?
Yes.
All right, here we go for all the marbles, Caden. All right, Brian Riley, let's see if you can do a clean sweep. May birthday, whose birthday is this?
Oh.
Is that too easy?
This is my guy. This is that song I throw in the car every once in a while if I'm just trying to sound country.
Yes.
It's the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Randy Travis.
Yeah, you said it wrong,
baby. I'm going.
That song, still to this day, at a wedding, packed dance floor.
Duh, why wouldn't
it? Doesn't matter who's there. But Caden, you did it today, my brother. You won the intern's lunch. Oh, by the way, his birthday is Star Wars Day.
May 4th.
May the 4th. Randy
Travis.
Be with
you.
Yeah.
And also with you.
Star Trek.
Caden, way to hit your wagon to the right horse, my man.
You did it, brother. You won Brian Riley's lunch.
It's time now for the Small Town Salute.
We want to say good morning to everybody listening in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, population 3,400. And if you think you've heard of Sleepy Eye before, you probably have, because they made news back in the early 1990s because they tried to ban MTV. Because they tried to ban MTV from being broadcast in their town. They did not want their MTV, and that's why Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, you get today's Small Town Salute.
That was your small town salute on the Kelly Jordan Show. The Kelly Jordan Show.
Calling out a coworker in front of other coworkers, that's what we have up today in the HR files, as we are joined by our human resources guy, Brian Zenzen, all the way from Kuwait. Brian, thank you for carving out some time for us.
Hey, for you guys, anything.
That's right.
Now, I would like for Brian Riley to explain how he disrespected me in front of other coworkers and should be written up for it.
That's not even close to being right. So we were out and about in Grand Forks, North Dakota this last weekend. We went to a ground round, and Kelly Jordan double dipped his mozzarella stick in front of numerous people, not just him and I.
Point of order.
No, don't interrupt me. There, in between, it was like eight of us sharing this huge appetizer platter, and Kelly went dipped, chowed, dipped again, loaded it up, and then felt like there was no need to say anything.
Now, wait, Brian, for clarification, did he dip? The bit off end into the community sauce?
Thank you. That is what I wanted to say. I took a bite, I flipped the mozzarella stick, and put a fresh end. I put a fresh end in there, so it wasn't the bit end that went back in. It was a clean end.
Time
out. But Brian Riley, in front of everybody, was like, oh, gross, that's disgusting. I was like, hey, you could have had some couth and pulled me aside, and I would have said, hey, doofus, it's okay. I didn't put my spit back in there. It was a clean end.
Time out. What about the third bite you took from that mozzarella stick?
Who takes a mozzarella stick in three bites?
You did, because the white claws were a-flowing, Kelly Jordan. You knew it.
I want evidence. I want photo evidence of me taking three. Who takes three bites of a mozzarella stick?
You did. You wanted to look classy. You didn't want to shove it all in your face because you told me that. You're like, am I eating too fast?
Okay, so at no point. I got to dissect this. So at no point, the bit end went into the sauce.
It did.
No, it did not. I'm not disgusting, dude. I wouldn't do that. I'm not disgusting.
I feel like I'm arguing with my girlfriend. I can't get my words out.
Like I'm arguing with a child.
Well, I mean, you're old enough to be my dad. It makes sense.
Maybe one of your dad's friends. I don't know about your dad.
Brian, at this point, I think Brian has brought a fraudulent claim in front of the HR office. So I think this necessitates fraud, waste, and abuse, frankly.
Erroneous.
I was correct, and you should show your elders respect, and you should have pulled me aside and said, did you double dip? And I'd say, no, the part that touched my mouth never went back in the marinara.
Okay, Boomer. Look, here's the deal.
Never did.
He dipped it three times, and it was the third time, because I'm okay with the flip, the 180, but the third dip was when I went, yo, you can't.
There was no third dip. You're making that up. No one dips a mozzarella stick three times. Who does that?
You did.
No, I did not.
And if you do, you got to put the sauce on a plate. I mean,
there was appetizer plates there, and I'm not a freaking animal. I have more class in my one mozzarella stick than Brian Riley has in a whole plate of apps.
Now, hypothetically, say Kelly was being fraudulent here, which he is. What's the grounds of termination here? Is he gone? What's the rules?
Over the mozzarella stick thing, probably wouldn't be termination.
Thank you.
Suspension without pay?
Bigger fish to fry.
Fine. Good. I got over $100 in the bank. I'm not worried about this. I'll be just fine. Just fine. Please. I think the bigger offense was being called out in front of coworkers for something I didn't even do.
Look.
You didn't. There was no third dip. I'm not disgusting. I have class.
So I have a question. Was JD there?
Yes, the big boss man JD was there.
I think you got to go to a third witness just for a statement.
That's him emailing right now. He's saying, I never saw a third dip.
Is there somebody I can go above you, Brian? Because obviously you're not listening to my claim.
I think they're out of the office right now.
I'm sure Bob Layton, the owner of a multi-million dollar company, wants to be bothered about a double-dip mozzarella stick.
I'll call Bobby Big Wheel right now and figure out this whole thing.
Bob's probably got his phone out on speed dial now heading into the office, probably. So I'm sure he's already on it.
He's got to put this fire out immediately.
It's a big one.
Well, Zenzen, we're just happy that we got to talk to you this morning over there since you've been deported to Kuwait.
Deployed.
What'd I say?
Deported.
You're over there in Kuwait, and will you have time to talk to us every week, or how is this going to work?
Yeah, I think so.
Fantastic.
We'll make sure to have a Kuwait clock here in the studio so we can get you at the right time.
Like a newsroom when they have...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Zenzen, our human resources guy, all the way from Kuwait. You take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
You ever get to a certain point, you realize you've been doing something wrong your entire life? That was this morning on the show. So, quick recap. Brian Riley and I, and Chelsea, you were out in L.A., so you could not join us in Grand Forks.
Sounds like it was a good time.
We were in the L.A. of the Midwest, Grand Forks,
yeah.
And we went to a ground round. And this was after a very long day of being out, visiting clients, doing all this kind of stuff. Yep. And they ordered apps for the whole table.
Yum.
And they ordered drinks for the whole table. I think that's a very important key to this story.
It is.
So I took my Moxie stick, dipped it once, and then I flipped it because my entire life I thought that was okay.
Sure.
My entire life I thought if you flip it, you're putting a clean end in where your lips have not been on. Everybody's okay with this.
Right.
Find out through text today, just getting lambasted. I don't even know if that's the right term, but
no,
man.
It's not.
I like it, though.
Now, in your defense, I was not mad about the second dip, because I've seen Seinfeld. I know how the whole thing works.
Right.
It's fine. But it was the third dip that he had that I caught, and I was like, hey, time out here, Kelly.
To be fair, I was on just the right amount of marinara sauce and White Claw at the time.
It was a one-to-one ratio.
Right, I wasn't seeing straight, Chelsea. I wasn't seeing straight.
Apparently.
Literally.
So I went in, I accidentally went in for the third, and then by the time I had penetrated the top of the marinara sauce, it was too late.
Yeah, you've already.
I had already done it, so I was like, "Well, now I don't want to call attention to myself that I made a mistake. I'm gonna go ham. I'm just gonna go all in on it. Like I don't think there's anything wrong.
You scoop it up. You get all them germy germs.
And maybe everyone will follow my lead.
That's so funny.
Nobody followed that.
No one did. And now I'm getting killed through text messages about dipping.
Yeah, Scott is saying you get your own sauce. There is the dip etiquette.
Right.
He's like, that removes the problem entirely.
I saw someone who had my back. Where was that text?
Melanie said, she says, it depends on who I'm with. I'll flip and dip. Also, you know, she'll put some on her plate, too.
Look at KT texting in. Kelly, keep on dipping. That's how I do it.
Sievert says, what in the Motsy stick are you doing?
Jenna did text in and say, I always flip and dip. People are dumb.
Okay. Thank you, Jenna. Becca's saying the same thing. There's nothing wrong with flipping it over and dunking it again. You don't bite off the end. It's fine. What people were saying earlier, though, is that your dirty old hand. I've never even thought about it like that your dirty old hand has been on one side.
Right.
And now you're putting that in where everybody's mouth is going.
Yeah, I didn't think about that one either. That's again, I defended you on the double, on the reverse. The triple was
the triple.
But you learn more here by accident than anywhere else by design.
That's
so,
right.
So, that being said, we all learned this morning that no longer will I will either get my own. I'm sure if I asked for my own marinara sauce, they wouldn't charge me for it.
I think that's going to be a rule from here on out. We're just going to get you your own.
And by the way,
that's good. Thank you.
You should have. You didn't pay the bill.
Right.
You can put it on the company's tab. Get four marinaras. Who cares?
I'll take a few to go.
You should have.
Gavin is all, he says, all for White Claws and triple dips. That should be our new t-shirt.
Ain't no laws.
When you're triple dipping and drinking claws.
I really feel bad. I will never flip and dip again.
Just wash your hands.
Well, then I have to wash between every bite. Nah, it's just not worth it. I'm getting my own from here on out.
At least you didn't lick the fingertips. You know
Holly
what I mean?
Says, just use your finger.
Excuse me, I need to use this real quick.
Oh, that's hilarious. What's up?
Kelly, you're not a caveman. You don't double dip in community thoughts.
Okay. Wait a second, though.
So long, Brian. Tried on this.
Thank you.
Okay, what if it's a quesadilla and you're dipping it into sour? Can I finish?
No.
No, you can't.
And then, but no part of it, you're not dipping the part that touched your mouth or your hand.
What are you flipping it with your feet?
No, because you're only touching the corner.
Not.
So there's ways to maneuver your snacks so no one has to deal with your spit.
Travel so fast. Ugh.
But you're also touching a piping hot Motsy stick. It's killing all the germs upon contact.
Yeah, because scientists really figured that one out.
No. Wash
Brian,
it out with alcohol.
If I were you, I would totally order my own apps and leave Kelly and his nastiness all to himself.
It was one time, and I was sorry. I was a little tipsy. I forgot.
Takes.
I wasn't keeping a mental count of how many times I had dipped my Motsy stick.
Yeah, to be fair, the White Claws were a-flowing.
They were. So, and you know what? Maybe this was my plan all along. Now I get my own apps. I don't have to share with anybody.
There you go. I like the devious plan there,
See?
Kelly.
Sometimes you gotta make yourself disgusting in front of everybody to get what you want.
It worked.
Sometimes Kelly finds things interesting that no one else does. We mean absolutely no one. It's time for Maybe It's Just Me.
Now, crop circles have been the conspiracy theory du jour for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And people have claimed that, oh, we're the ones behind these crop circles. We were the ones doing them out in the fields.
Yeah.
But there's some wild anomalies that they find inside of crop circles. Like they find heightened radiation inside of crop circles so much that one time they had a woman with an enlarged thyroid go sit in the middle of a crop circle. Her thyroid shrunk by 4 inches. 4 centimeters, I'm sorry.
That day?
Over the course of 2.5 hours of sitting inside of a crop circle. They found that out. They found out that a lot of the stems explode as if they were exposed to radiation. But do you know that messages have been sent to us through crop circles? They're not just pretty things to look at out in the field.
Okay.
Hold
Stop.
On.
Stop.
Now, there was one that was done that had like kind of an offset look to it. And they thought, well, let's run this through a binary code translator that we use to translate electrical messages.
Right.
Because it looked like some kind of message.
Message.
They did it, and here's what they heard.
Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe. There is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit close.
So if you missed that, it said, beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
What cassette tape did they get that from?
Yeah.
I'm not, doesn't matter. Doesn't, dude, it was on a crop circle. And if you see this thing, it looks like no human could have created this thing.
Wait.
So it would have taken years to create this encode a message into it.
So the crop circle had the message in it or somebody was saying something?
They ran the pattern of the crop circle through a binary code translator and that's the message that they got.
Yeah, Bren. Yeah.
Now, here's my question. What is a crop circle? Is that supposed to be like where the ship lands? Is that what a crop circle is supposed to be? Like what?
They don't know.
It's like a message. I think it's a waste of crops. That's what that is. That would make me so mad.
They don't know. And they found like metal shavings inside of these things, radioactive metal shavings.
And no one's ever had proof of something crop circle.
I saw the farmer. It was with his 2x4 with the holes
right.
drilled in it.
And that got proven false because the guy got winded after like one lap of making a crop circle.
Well, he was a hefty boy.
And some of these are like complex. Not geographical. What am I trying to say? What's the other thing?
Yeah. Geometric.
Geometric. Thank you, Chelsea.
That's
the word I was looking for.
They look like spirographs, kind of. Some of them do.
Some of them are pretty complex.
The question that I have is the fact that we can't figure out, what was the Zodiac dude? We can't figure out his messages, but somehow we can figure out what the crop circles say.
They're smart. Well, that's because there's people out there a lot smarter than the people in this room.
Because they have the cassette taper.
But why can't they figure out the Zodiac? You know, person thing.
Because you can't even figure out what you're trying to say.
What's his name? The Zodiac Killer.
And you're worried about them?
I'm worried about it all.
All I'm saying is there's questions out there in the universe. And for me, crop circles, once I learned that they're sending us messages through crop circles, I don't know. There's been over 1,300 of them found across the world.
I want to know what YouTube video you found this on.
I do have a question, though.
A lot of times they don't have footprints leading out to them. They're just there.
Oh, it's like snow angels kind of. Are these covered under like crop insurance? Because I'm still upset that crops are being ruined.
Well, it's, you know what, though? You can charge 50 cents a look for people to come out.
It's a solid deal.
Make a little extra cash.
Get some radiation. Yeah, that's a good selling point.
Well, listen, I find that amazing that they sent us a message through a crop circle. You guys can poo-poo on it all you want.
Do we have any here?
My eyes are wide open. I don't know if we have any in
We have
in
a bunch
Midwest.
Of corn mazes. That's probably the closest thing.
Same thing, right?
More or less.
Just not a circle.
You maybe didn't find this one interesting, and that's totally okay. I 110% did find it interesting, and that's why I brought it to the airwaves today, and I'll have another one for you tomorrow that you may or may not like, but it doesn't matter. That's what you don't get, because sometimes I'm the only one that likes them, and maybe it's just me. Welcome to our bonus track. It's our very first break of the day with Chelsea being back from vacation.
Yes.
We heard a little bit about her trip to L.A. We heard about what kind of drinks do people from different states like to drink when they're on a flight.
Shocked about what Wisconsin drinks on a flight. Still doesn't make sense to
they're
me.
They're a little
what
classy.
What was theirs? Oh, white wine.
Yeah, they're classy on vacation.
No,
I thought it'd be a Pabst.
I thought they'd be shotgunning beers.
That's right.
No, that's from their bottle.
Well, hey, you learn something new every day. Today was about learning on the show.
Learning and growing.
You'll hear it all right now on the bonus track, which we tack at the end of the podcast. Here we go. Chelsea is back.
Good morning.
Brian Riley is back.
What up?
And the one who never left. myself, Kelly. Allow myself to introduce myself.
What's
Kelly,
your name?
Kelly,
hello.
I'm here.
Hello.
I'm ready to do it this morning. But Chelsea, good to have you back. You were out in sunny California.
It was beautiful.
Anything interesting happen while you're out there? I mean, I was following you on social media. It looked like you were having the time of your life.
We had a blast. We had a couple close calls, especially on Venice Beach. But we're all right.
Close calls with what?
Just some, what can I describe them as? Just
Unhoused people?
No,
neighbors in need, some would say?
No, homeless. I mean, yeah, they were homeless out there and stuff, but they were all right. They're okay. There's one tweaker. But no, there are a few dudes that were just not, it wasn't okay, and a bouncer had to get involved. But,
oh, my, like hitting on you?
Just being disgusting. Just being jerks. I think just more harassing, you know? But other than that, I mean, there's just a handful, but everybody was so great. So first night, we go to the speakeasy. And Kelly, you actually piqued my interest when you went to a speakeasy.
Shh, we don't talk about the speakeasies on the air.
Sorry, but you could, though. This one's called The Hidden Barber. So we walked into this barber shop down this dark street, right? Mm-hmm. It was perfect for three women to do, right, from the Midwest?
No wonder you're getting hit on by creepy dudes.
The Uber driver's like, are you sure? It's 11 o'clock and we're dropping you off at a barber shop. I'm like, yeah, we're good.
You're like, we're drinking behind a dumpster and for some reason we ran into these creepy guys. I'm like, oh,
I need to get a fresh fade right about now, so just set me up.
They came through. But it's a fully functioning barber shop. Beautiful barber shop, right? And mm-hmm. And then we go through the back and you knock on this weird door and you go downstairs. And there's this bar, and then all the lights are red and everything. We meet this guy named Levi, who's a professional mixologist, and he's slinging all these cocktails. I had a $125 glass of bourbon.
Damn. Here we go again. Brian.
Look, I tried telling you guys. She's got this salary.
Trips to California, $125 drinks.
Whoever her agent is.
That's not the highlight.
I haven't spent $125 on White Claws yet this year.
I don't even have $125.
Have you heard of Pappy Von Winkle, though?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
I have heard of Pappy.
So this was a $1,500 bottle. It's the world's rarest bourbon. I got to hold it. He let me hold it. And he's like, would you like this? And I said, that's my whole budget for the trip. So he poured me one glass, drank it neat. It was amazing.
I bet you that I would not be able to tell the difference between that and a $7 bottle. I'm saying me personally.
You would, because it's age, when it's aged different. It's all caramelized and smooth at the beginning, and then it's the slow fire versus like this burn that's just going to like rip your nostrils off.
What I'm saying, though, as me being as unsophisticated as I am, I don't think I'd be able to tell the difference.
That's fair. I don't think I would. I'd give you a sip.
Yeah, I wouldn't even waste your money. I, honest to God, wouldn't even want you to waste your money
just
on
choking
me.
On or spitting it out afterwards.
Here's the funniest thing. So he is notorious in California for these drinks that he makes, right? With like 12 different ingredients. He does the shakers, like in cocktails. He's throwing them up in the air. He's adding orchid flowers.
Oh,
he's adding like hibiscus dust.
Just give me the drink already.
Dude, and my girl Ellie, she's like, yo, this is fine, but have you heard of Carbliss? Have you heard of Carbliss? He's like, what is Carbliss? Is that like a mix of things? She's like, no, it's in a can. And he just like, he almost dropped his drinks. So here's me drinking way over here.
A can? How dare you?
And she's like, it's like a White Claw, but way better. And he thought that she was an undercover Carbliss like rep.
Oh, really?
For how hard she was trying to sell this to him. And she was talking about the perks and how healthy it is and all this other stuff. She's like, yeah, all this stuff is great. But she's like, have you heard of Carbliss?
Meanwhile, the guy's juggling bottles of vodka.
100%. He was lighting things on fire. He had like fresh rosemary and sage in the ingredients. And this girl wanted was her cranberry Carbliss.
Well, did she get it though?
No, she did not.
I said, do they have that at the speakeasy? Even me, I would not go into there's two speakeasies that me and my wife go to. I would never order a White Claw in there.
How funny is that? I know, because
I'll do a glass of white wine or something. That's...
You do White Claw in a glass. Can I get a White Claw in a glass, please?
But this girl cracks me up. So you have Jill, who's super bougie, right? She wanted to go out to these bougie restaurants. And then there was my love, Ellie, and she just won cheeseburgers and Carbliss all week. So it was a nice mix.
That is. And it's interesting you bring up drinks in California and hard seltzers.
Because
they came out with, they compiled the, because people are starting to travel this year.
Right.
You know, May is here. And they're jumping on planes. So they compiled all the data over the past year and found out what is everyone's favorite drink to have on a plane from each state.
Ooh.
From California, oddly enough, their favorite alcoholic drink on a plane is a hard seltzer.
I didn't even know they sold those on planes.
You can pretty much get anything on a plane.
I didn't think they did either.
Now, for some reason, North Dakota is not on this list. Maybe they don't drink when they get on planes.
Maybe
where do
not.
They fly? They got an airport, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Minnesota, we like a glass of white wine when we jump on a plane.
That's because we're classy.
Right. I love white wine. I don't drink it often, though, because I get the worst heartburn because I'm old. Let's see. Wisconsin, they like a glass of white wine as well when they jump on.
There's no way.
Oh, they, yeah. They're trading up from beer.
I would have thought it was a Bud Heavy or something
like
that.
We're not on in Wisconsin, are we? Because we're talking. No, we're not. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Wisconsin.
I figured they were shotgunning. I figured they were shotgunning beers on the plane with the flight attendants. Like, you want one too?
That's their pregame. They class it up at, up in the air.
I heard that Wisconsinites, when they, and this could be a total.
Wisconsinites.
Wisconsinians?
Wisconsinians, yeah.
Wisconsinians.
Okay. I heard that when they go to Green Bay Packer games,
yeah,
that some of them will put gasoline on their sleeves so they can like huff while they're in the stands.
That might be the most psychotic thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I don't know if it's true, so if you're from Wisconsin, I apologize. That was something somebody told me. I think they might have been in Wisconsin.
Now, there's a picture that is, I wouldn't say it's famous, but it's well known. It's a Packer fan sitting, it was back in the day, probably about the 70s, but he's sitting in the bleachers, and next to him are like 14, 15 Miller Lite cans, and they're the old ones where you actually rip the tab off,
yeah.
And I'm just sitting there thinking, God, that guy's just living the dream, just crushing beers, watching football on a Sunday, probably has to go to work hungover the next day. I just want that in my living room.
I don't think they get hungover in Wisconsin.
They don't believe in
it. Well, if you stay drunk, you don't get hungover.
Yeah, they just, the hair of the dog, man.
Yeah, just stay drunk.
When you walk around with a .08 at all times, you're fine.
Just right on the edge.
You're living life on the edge.
Well, you got to do a .07 so you can still drive.
Yeah, legally.
But you're not sober. Let's see. Michigan, there's another one from the Midwest.
Ooh.
They like a good vodka cocktail when they jump on.
Well, they are classy. That is the metropolis of the Midwest.
It is. Detroit.
Hit it and get it.
Ohio. Whiskey cocktail, Chelsea. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a whiskey fan. Illinois, they like a good whiskey cocktail as well when they jump on the plane.
So you don't like an old fashioned or anything like that?
Not really. You know what it is? Hard alcohol just gets me there too quick. I enjoy the ride.
Well, are you slamming it? What are you doing?
No, but it's just, I enjoy, my wife always says, like, why do you like having drinks on the weekend? It has nothing to do with the buzzed feeling or anything. I enjoy the ritual of having drinks. I enjoy the gathering around the bar, sipping on something, just talking with. I enjoy the ritual of it. I could probably cut the alcohol out and still get the same experience.
You just want those mocktails.
I'm not ready to risk that yet.
Well, the downside is you have to have friends to do all that part.
Right.
Oh.
Well, I got family that comes over that likes to drink with me.
Oh, you want to hang out this weekend?
Can't.
Yeah, me either. I'm busy.
My daughter's in a play this weekend. What do you want from me?
Nothing. I was seeing if you wanted to hang out.
You don't have
all.
Kids. You don't know what it's like.
Cinco de Mayo on Sunday.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. That's an American holiday.
Tequila.
Yeah. Go ahead, girl. Tequila on a Sunday? That's a rough stretch of highway.
Tacos, man.
All right. Chelsea's going to be trash on Monday. Put that up on the calendar.
I still have Cali in me, man. I'm all right.
Expect nothing from Chelsea Monday the 6th.
Or one heck of a show. You never know.
Are you guys ready to do some history?
Yeah. Always.
It was on this day, all the way back in the year of our Lord, 1930.
At the edge of the solar system, Pluto pushes the boundaries of our understanding of the universe.
Pluto was named as a planet back in 1930.
And then they took it away.
You know that they say that there's could be planets in our solar system that we don't even know about yet?
Right.
Because they could be on such a huge orbit that we've never even seen them. So we think that there's, what, 7 in our solar system?
Sure.
There could be dozens.
Are there more than that? Aren't there like 9?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
they take them, and the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I don't know. But they say that there could be planets we've never seen before because they're on such a huge orbit. We just don't know they're there.
Huh.
They could be on like a 500-year orbit around the sun.
It could be.
I find that, Brian, just because you don't think anything is interesting.
No, I just feel like every time you bring something up, it's like, it could be this, but nobody has actual evidence.
Well,
that.
No, it's interesting. It's fun to let your mind wander and say the universe is an amazing place.
Take a ride on the White Claw.
Here's something that might be happening out there.
All right.
That's, and the cheese stands alone. On this day in 1999.
Sure, what do ya?
Oh, that's annoying. SpongeBob premiered on this day back in 1999.
I can remember watching the first day of SpongeBob.
Really?
I was in my parents' bedroom, me and my brother. We saw the commercials leading up to it on Nickelodeon. We're like, we got to watch SpongeBob.
What is this?
And it was one of the funniest things we've seen when we were that young.
It's
I was
so
seven.
Funny.
I was 7 when it came out.
It's still funny.
It's definitely one of those that I don't mind.
I like it.
Like that is a good one. Here's something cool. So one time we were at the Mall of America, and the artist who drew on SpongeBob were at the mall. And for like $5, you could get a picture drawn from them of a scene from SpongeBob.
Now that's cool.
Autographed and everything. And it was that's like cool. $5.
Down in Bikini Bottom.
And we waited just maybe like, I don't know, 30 minutes for it. So if, my kids have this framed artwork in their room from the artist of SpongeBob.
That's pretty cool. If you go to the Mall of America, go on the SpongeBob roller coaster ride.
I've been on it before.
It's terrifying.
I know. It's fun.
And actually, for being an indoor mall roller coaster ride, it's a thrill of a lifetime.
I threw out my back just watching them on that. That was a pass.
They definitely juiced that mall up over the years,
it's
right?
It's so good. So fun.
And then finally, on this day, this was a big day all the way back in the year of our Lord, 2011.
The United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children.
President Obama announced live on television Osama bin Laden had been killed in a U.S. raid on the compound in Pakistan. And boy, if you ever hear from those dudes that were there, the story, it's giving me goosebumps even just thinking about
it. There's the guy that goes on a lot of podcasts and he'll talk, because he was the one to do it.
Yeah.
And his story about it is insane.
He talks about like his son being in the room and his wife. It's just bonkers,
it's
man.
It's wild.
So crazy.
And that's it. I can only do one birthday today because later on we're going to do Win the Intern's Lunch. And because it's May 1st, we're going to do all country artists who have May birthdays.
Oh. Love it. Love it.
We'll see how good Brian does on that. But we do have one birthday we can do today. You guys know who this is? Hold on, let me fast forward a little bit. I didn't have the clip ready.
That's Ghostbusters, right? Bill Murray.
No. No. Today, celebrating a birthday, the one, the only, Ray Parker Jr.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally the only. Literally the only. How much money do you think he's still making on royalties?
If he wrote it, a lot. Because they reuse this every time they dust off that movie concept. Anyway, how old is old Ray Parker Jr. today? Chelsea, do you have any clue?
I think he's older.
You think?
How's that for a smart guess? I'm going to go with 67.
67, okay, duly noted.
I'm going to say 70.
70. Brian is right on the money today. Woo! Chelsea, you were close, though. I don't want you to beat yourself up over that one.
Don't worry, Chelsea. I have the Wikipedia page up right now. He's also from the metropolis of the Midwest.
Detroit?
Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit Rock City.
That's right.
Wow.